Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today, the focus of the show will be on censorship and the recent events of Alex Jones being kicked off of several social media platforms on the same day. It will also be about how this appears to be a psychological operation and what you can do about it in terms of the choices you have. You'll hear clips from The Jimmy Dore Show and The Corbett Report. I first read about the censorship of Alex Jones and the show Infowars.com in my local newspaper. Now, whenever a mainstream media outlet covers people who talk about 9/11 and other taboo topics, such as Alex Jones does, I get suspicious. Normally, they don't give anyone doing this any attention at all. For example, I've never heard anything in my local newspaper or in almost any of the corporate media, from the New York Times to CNN, about the 3,000 architects and engineers calling for a new investigation into 9/11 and providing all the scientific evidence that proves that the towers came down by controlled demolition. There were a few amazing exceptions. When Geraldo Rivera did a segment on World Trade Center 7, and also when C-SPAN, after being harassed for a year by callers into one of their shows, agreed to have architect Richard Gage appear on the show if the callers agreed to stop calling in about World Trade Center 7. I've also never heard anything about the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry and their grand jury petition submitted to the courts in New York City in April of this year. They provided all the documentation for controlled demolition of the towers and to date haven't received any response. Big news, but only silence from the mainstream media. So when the corporate media does cover someone who discusses these taboo topics, I'm always curious about their motives. Censorship in America is alive and well, and I can attest to that from personal experience. So Alex Jones being kicked off of social media platforms is nothing new. What's new is that he's getting lots of media attention. We know that Facebook, Google, and other social media outlets have intelligence connections, so please keep that in mind as you listen to the rest of the show. For me, it doesn't matter what you think of Alex Jones. You like him, you don't like him. The powers that be want you to get caught up in the left-right debate about this situation because that fits right into their agenda. And by the way, it's also made Alex Jones and InfoWars more popular than ever. So first, let's hear what Jimmy Dore of The Jimmy Dore Show has to say about this. And this clip has been lightly edited.
So we're talking about this today. So Alex Jones got deplatformed. Well, here's what we warned about, what would happen. So people on the left who are cheering this on don't think about the unintended consequences. It's like they've never read a book about censorship. They've never seen it in a movie about how it happens, the backlashes, the unintended consequences. I don't like Alex Jones, so I like this. And so we said this yesterday. This is what we said yesterday Monday when we were doing our report on this. Here's what we predicted.
Just going to add this as another side note, and I want to pose this question because here's another reason why I'm confused why the people that don't like Alex Jones were being celebratory here. Do you think that at the end of the day, this is going to help him?
This helps him.
I think so too.
Of course this helps him. And well, we said this. So to all the people on the left who are applauding Facebook and YouTube and never stop to consider the unintended consequences, I told you so. And what did I tell you so? InfoWars becomes the fourth most popular Apple News app in U.S. after crackdown from tech companies. Are you happy? Are you happy? Now he's a martyr? Now when he says that the establishment is colluding and there's a conspiracy against his message, there actually is? It actually solidifies his space for him, and it gets him more viewers. It gets him more people.
But what I also think is interesting is watching the left and the right respond to this, because I think it's complicated, but the best part is the right, which is always free market this, free market that, let corporations decide, corporations are people, and all of a sudden, the, you know, the alt-right people who support Alex Jones, all of a sudden, they want some kind of socialized internets.
So the people who are cheering this on think, people on the left who are cheering this on, thinking that this will, oh, we've hurt him. You didn't hurt him. Right. This is setting a horrible precedent for censoring people going forward, using corporations to do it, and it doesn't hurt them. It helps them. So if you want to hurt them, ignore them, and put up a Facebook page that says debunking Alex Jones. Kyle Kalinske does video after video showing you what Alex Jones said, and it shows you why it's bullshit. That's how you debunk him. When you censor him, my whole point is, yeah, if he does something that actually makes him forfeit his First Amendment rights, then we need to have a court, an adversarial court system that with an impartial judge that determines that. I don't want Mark Zuckerberg on a whim, or is it Schmidt over at Google, or whoever runs YouTube, on a whim, because just a few weeks ago they were arguing for Alex Jones staying on their platforms. I don't want whoever runs Apple, I don't want it to be their whim. So that's what people are saying. Well, it's bad. Well, you're going to do. Yeah. It can't be the whim of a billionaire. It just can't. That's the problem here. And if he's actually doing things, they're like, "Well, did you know what he did?" Well, then he created harassment for these people. Well, then sue him. Then he should be charged criminally. That none of that's happening. He is being sued. Right. But he hasn't been charged criminally. He hasn't, according to any law enforcement agency, including the FBI, he hasn't done anything criminal with his speech that would afford him to lose it. So now it's literally just the whim of billionaires, and they all did it in concert together. So what he says is that he's a victim of conspiracies, and he is. Facebook bans Palestinians all the time. All the government has to do is ask them. Facebook says it's deleting accounts at the direction of the government. The Silicon Valley giant says it deleted the accounts of Chechen Republicans tyrant, followed by 4 million people, because the U.S. government said so. They're not only they're doing it to Palestinians. Glenn Greenwald says any gullible, obsequious, and subservient enough to trust Facebook to benevolently and fairly determine what is hate speech should go to the West Bank and Gaza and talk to all the Palestinians banned from Facebook at the request of the Israeli government.
You know, the shadow government, the people and organizations that really call the shots, and their puppets in the Democratic and Republican parties, made such a mess of the planet and most of its people. And they've done this through deception and disinformation, through censorship and cover-up, that they need to control the alternative voices, because what's really going on is seeping out all over. We obviously don't know everything that they're up to, but we do know a lot of what they're up to. It's out there, but you have to go to alternative sources to find it. So now we're going to hear from James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com, who is, in my opinion, an excellent source of alternative information. When it comes to Alex Jones and censorship, he hits the nail on the head. This clip has also been lightly edited. So here he is, James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com, and this show is called Problem, Reaction, Solution.
I am your host, as always, James Corbett of corbettreport.com, coming to you from the sunny climes of Western Japan on the 10th day of August, 2018. This is episode 344 of the podcast, Problem, Reaction, Solution, Internet Censorship Edition. What news am I referring to? Of course, the news that we've all heard by now of the social media purge, the crackdown. And obviously, the largest name, the big example that everyone will point to, of course, is Alex Jones and InfoWars being taken off of Facebook and YouTube and Apple and other places. Spotify has been cracking down. So that has been the big story. And on top of that, as some of you I'm sure have seen, but maybe some haven't, Daniel McAdams of the Ron Paul Institute and Scott Horton of the Scott Horton Show and the Libertarian Institute, both previous guests on this program, have had their Twitter accounts suspended, seemingly indefinitely, and Peter Van Buren of We Meant Well has had his account completely deleted because of a little altercation they had with an MSM zombie earlier this week, or I guess last week at this point. Anyway, we all know about the news of the week and the general theme of the social media crackdown. And this is apparently, according to pretty much everything I've seen, even from alternative media personalities that I respect and whose commentary I look forward to, they're all mouthing the same pieties and platitudes and missing the point of all this. This is the point where I'm supposed to go, well, yeah, Alex Jones is crazy and he says some nonsensical things and he acts like a clown and he might be controlled opposition, but we should all be on his side on this because it could be us next and blah, 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 blah. This conversation is stuck on stupid. I am telling you, this is a chess game. They are not thinking of this particular play in the chess game. They are thinking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 moves in advance so that they can checkmate you into the exact square of the board they want you to go to, and you will go there willingly, of your own free will, because you are being led along a path by a false dichotomy. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the idea that there are two different ways of looking at this perspective, and if you're a right-thinking, liberal, centrist, normie, whatever, maybe you're happy about the way Alex Jones and others are being treated on these social media platforms because, well, there's a terms of use and these people are spouting crazy hate speech, whatever, they need to be taken off the platforms in order to protect the public sphere, because that's what Twitter and Facebook and all these things amount to right now. And if you're a good-thinking, conservative, whatever, MAGA wearing hat-wearing Trump supporter, then you have to be up in arms and outraged and say, no, this is crazy, this is stupid, we can't just ban people for political wrongthink. What we need is some sort of internet bill of rights to protect ourselves in the public sphere, because Twitter and Facebook and all of these companies are now the public sphere. Do you see the false dichotomy? Do you see how both of those allowable opinions that everyone chooses their side, do you see how they both share a certain underlying assumption? What is that underlying assumption? The public sphere is now Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and whatever, the big tech giants. That now is the public sphere. So we have to protect it, and we have to get government in to regulate and make some internet bill of rights so we can't be kicked off these platforms. No, we need these companies to use their terms of service to kick these crazy conspiracy theorists off, and that is the debate that we get stuck in. But it's wrong. It's factually wrong. It is based on the principle that Twitter and Facebook and what have you are the monopolistic controllers of public debate, public opinion, the public sphere, the public space. It used to be you go to the town square, now you go on Twitter and you do a tweet blast. And that's how you participate in public discourse now. No! No, it is not! And that thinking is exactly what the big tech overlords want you to think. Do you not think that Zuckerberg and his pals are wetting their pants in anticipation of government stepping in and declaring that Twitter and Facebook and what have you, these are now such important platforms that we must now, well, of course, acknowledge their monopoly status and then regulate them. They want this. They desire this. Oh, don't throw us in the briar patch and make us into the monopolies that we want to be. Do you understand how this works? There are a couple of things going on here, so let's break them down. I mean, first of all, we have the historical example of when government comes in to break up a monopoly and what ends up happening. If you don't know about that story, I would suggest you go back to How Big Oil Conquered the World and hear about the Rockefeller Standard Oil monopoly and what happened when the government came in to break up that monopoly, and Rockefeller ended up getting richer and more powerful as a result. Oh, don't break up our monopoly. Oh, now I have 7 companies I can control that are technically separate companies, so they can do their different things and all working in the same way for the same agenda, and all the money goes back to me in the end anyway. I'm even richer. Rubbing hands in anticipation. But this isn't about money. Yeah, Zuckerberg might have lost a few zeros from his net worth, whatever, blah, 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 which is all in his little philanthropic endeavor anyway, so, you know, what does that matter to his bottom line at the end of the day? No, this isn't about money. This is about power. This is about cementing into place something that is not cemented into place. The position of these companies as the dictators of the public sphere, the public debate, the platforms that we all have to use and we all have to participate in if we want to participate in public conversation. That doesn't exist. Case in point, do you remember MySpace? Do you remember dig.com? If you do, you're probably over 20 years old, because if you're under 20, I can't imagine you had any interaction with these sites when you were 7, 8, 9 years old. But for those of us who do remember the internet of a decade ago, those were the giants of that time. They were, if you had any social media, you had MySpace. I had MySpace when I started the Corbett Report. It was an important outlet for reaching people. I was on Dig and telling people to dig my articles, because if you got enough digs and you got to the front page, it would get really take off. And where are they now? Oh, that's right. No one knows or cares or even remembers these spaces, because they're gone. They're yesterday's news. They are long gone. In MySpace's case, of course, it was bought out and ultimately undermined, and then Dig was, there was all that manipulation with the super users who could scuttle things off the front page even if they got a lot of digs and blah blah blah, and people got disgusted and moved to Reddit, which is controlled in its own other way. But anyway, the process moves and people move on to other, unfortunately in this case, controlled platforms, but they move on to other platforms. Can you imagine if the government of 10 years ago had said, look, everyone's on MySpace, everyone's using Dig, we must regulate these and put these, I mean, these are the public sphere, so we must make special rules for these corporations, and everybody will have to be given an account for these, and blah, blah, blah. They would still be here. They would still be dictating the debate and being the platforms that everybody has to use, because they achieve that monopoly status that is granted by the implication of government coming in with special regulations. Do you understand how this works? Facebook and YouTube and all these platforms, they want this kind of regulation because it means the thing that they actually fear will not come to pass. What do they actually fear? They actually fear people taking their time and attention and energy and money and eyeballs and data and everything else and going somewhere else, which you can do. That already exists as an option. This is not pie in the sky stuff. This already exists. There are already alternatives to these platforms that are already out there. But the network effect, James, blah, blah, blah. No, do not take the responsibility for this and put it on someone else. It rests on you. You are not a helpless bystander in what is going on here. Oh, we have to use Facebook. We have to use Twitter. You do not have to use any of these platforms. You choose to use them. That is an important distinction, because as always, there are things we have no control over. One of them being when and if the government comes in to regulate these monopolies, you will have no control over what they ultimately end up doing. And when the government steps in, do you really think the government is going to step in to say, now Twitter, now Facebook, now YouTube, you gotta give the platform back to Alex Jones and let's all play fair? Do you think that is how this is going to go? Of course it isn't. And the thing that's the most frustrating about all of this is that it is the very audience that I would have expected would have been the most vocally opposed to such a proposal are the ones who seemingly are most clamoring for it at the moment. Well, we need some sort of internet bill of rights to protect us, and we need the government, we need a regulatory body to come in and make sure that these big platforms give us all an account and treat us all equally and blah, blah, blah. No, that is a false dialectic. It's a false way of thinking about this. And again, the thing that they actually fear is you using your actual will and determination and your own personal volition to choose to go somewhere else with your time, with your attention, with your energy. And those things already exist. This is why I've been screaming from the rafters for years about social media alternatives and moving to alternative platforms. This is why I had an entire series talking about the different alternatives that already exist. Again, this isn't pie-in-the-sky stuff. There are decentralized, blockchain-based alternatives where they cannot take away your right to access these accounts that already exist. You can already use them. I am already using them. And this is the other thing that people don't understand. But I have a lot of Facebook friends. I don't want to give that access up, and I don't want to go to some other platform where no one knows me. Nobody else is using it. You don't have to leave these platforms. Just start using the alternatives. Start creating a space somewhere else. That is the first step. And eventually you are going to want to get off of these platforms, as you should. You know that these social media platforms, the big tech giants, the big Facebooks and YouTubes and Twitters, are intelligence agency data collection tools. We know this. You've seen my reports on Silicon Spies, on Facebook's murky origins, on Google and its relationship to the CIA and NSA, and all of these things. We know about that. On top of that, we know from their own mouths that the designers of these platforms specifically set out to addict you to them, using your brain chemistry, using neuropsychological principles that they've worked on and tailored and crafted with their little behaviorist principles, knowing, oh, just like the mice with the unpredictable reward schedule, and you'll just keep pressing that button over and over and over. Well, we can get you pressing that button and scrolling and clicking over and over and over, just giving you certain rewards and certain bells and whistles and certain notifications at certain times and a little bit of interaction here and a little notification there, and you will continue using their platform over and over and over and over and over until you die, seemingly. Well, that's, of course, these platforms are controlled precisely to keep you on that treadmill and to keep you thinking that the only way you can have social interaction is on their controlled platforms. So we all have to have a big fight about who's allowed to be on those controlled platforms. That is a controlled opposition way of looking at this. I know my audience knows about problem, reaction, solution. They present a problem, you react to the problem, and they present the solution to save you from the problem. Of course, the solution was talked about, planned about, lusted after for a very long time, but they can't just put the solution in front of you because, hey, whoa, that's crazy. No, you need the problem and the reaction. So if the solution is going to be, don't worry, the government will come in and break up these monopolies and regulate these big tech giants, and the big tech guys will go, oh, please don't do that to us and make sure that we're here forever and cement us, our place hardwire us into the internet so that we'll be here forever. Oh, please don't do that. That'll be horrible. And then it happens, and hey, everything works out. And they still kick people off the platform, and this time it has the government stamp of approval, so there's really nothing you can do about it. Oh no, you can vote a different team in 4 years, right? Nonsense. Total nonsense. It's a total psyop. But again, the very people who would have been opposed to government regulation of the internet a few years ago are the very people who are now starting to inch closer towards that goal. And I see it happening, and I watch them marching like lemmings off the cliff, willingly, happily. Once again, you are not a helpless child in all of this. You're not a helpless spectator. You do not have to rely on someone else to grant you some platform from which you can speak. No, you choose what you are doing with your time, attention, and energy. And there is a bright spot in all of this, because as you may have seen, and I don't have the statistic in front of me, so I'm going to put the link in the show notes so that you can check it out, but something on the order of 40% of social media users have deleted at least one social media account in the past year. It can be done. And people are starting to do it. They're starting to wake up to the fact, hey, you know, Facebook is a completely controlled platform that's only there to harvest my data and to collect information on me for the government behind the scenes. Maybe it's not a good idea to be feeding them all my data myself. Maybe I shouldn't be using their platform. Bing, 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 bing. Yes, maybe you shouldn't. And again, it doesn't mean you have to be a hermit or be a Unabomber out in the woods drinking bugs and rainwater. It means you start exploring the alternatives that already exist, helping to foster new alternatives. If you don't like what you see, create something new. It can be done. It is being done. There are people out there that are spearheading this. I've been talking about it for years. I will put the link into the social media alternatives series that I did, as well as some of the other videos I've done talking about the things that already exist and the need for these platforms in general. I'll also put in the links in the show notes talking about, in case you didn't get the message over the last several years, the fact that the big tech giants are, of course, the intelligence agencies behind the scenes. They are one and the same, and they are working for an agenda that is certainly not in your interests, so you should not be clamoring to please allow us a space on your platform so that we can give you all our data and put all our things on your controlled platform so that at some point in the future they can just erase it all and completely eliminate your digital existence. No. And again, the underlying mentality is either you are a helpless bystander here and you have to wait for some government savior to come in and assure your position on the platform, or you are out there actively creating the alternative space that will make Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Snapchat and all of these control platforms utterly irrelevant. They will be the MySpaces and Digs of 10 years from now if we migrate, if we turn away en masse from these control platforms. The choice is ours. The choice is yours. Do not put this off onto someone else. So that's the message for today. And that's the message that I don't see anyone talking about when it comes to this issue. I see a lot of people clamoring for the very types of government regulation and that that you would have expected they would not have been on board with. Anyway, that's my thought on all of this. And I'm going to go calm down. Thank you for tuning in and for going to CorbettReport.com for these reports, not GooTube or any other controlled platform. You are the resistance. You are choosing what platforms will thrive and which will die. On that note, James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.
So I think James Corbett makes an excellent point that we are never going to stop censorship by using the intelligence-connected social media sites. They were designed to spy on us all and can be used to censor at will. But as he points out, we have choices. Why would we continue to use social media outlets that we know are designed to spy on us? Here are some alternative sites. Steemit, Steemit. The next one is DTube, and that's the letter D, so DTube. And then Altmedia, A-L-T, Media, Altmedia. And then BitChute, B-I-T-C-H-U-T-E, BitChute. And then the last one I'll give you today is mix-blockchain.org. So it's mix-blockchain.org. And if you want to hear James Corbett's other shows on alternative sites, you can find them at his website, CorbettReport.com. And that's Corbett with two T's. So CorbettReport.com. And the Jimmy Dore Show can be found on YouTube.com and just looking for Jimmy Dore. And Dore is spelled D-O-R-E. The whole concept of fake news was started by the corporate media in an effort to try to turn people away from alternative news sites. They even created a list of several hundred of them. Some of my favorite sites were on that list. I don't think it's worked for them. The genie's already out of the bottle. With too many people that get that the corporate media is CIA infested and corporately controlled and seems to do the bidding of the government. And it omits discussions of important topics like 9/11 or supports the government when it lies about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that led to wars and the deaths of millions of people. And now there's Trump calling the corporate media fake news. He may be wrong about a lot of things, but he's right about that. But nobody talks about censoring the corporate media. Instead, we just turn them off or don't read them. And more people are doing that. We need to do the same with social media. Find the alternatives that won't censor when told to do so by any government or group. So do your part. If not you, then who? This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.